going on, everyone? Welcome to the Purple People Podcast. My name is Kyle Smith, and that's my entrance music. Hit the shattered glass with the gallery.
Oh, I am going to add that. I don't care if we get a copyright strike. We are going to have the Steve Austin glass break. That way, whenever you do a bold take, we can do only pretend that's the glass shatter.
I am a diehard Shawn Michaels fanboy until the end of time, but there are some things you can't
deny. We'll add that too. We'll add the beginning of his song.
Stupid-ass entrance song. And it's crazy, like, the pop that gets for when he comes out, but man, that glass shattering. Like, I saw one on TikTok the other day. Wrestling has crept its way in because I like some things. And I believe it was WrestleMania 30 or 31. But there's a bunch of young guys in the ring. I don't know who any of these guys are. And they're like, we're the best, you know, blah, 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 four that have ever.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Ring.
And then Shawn Michaels comes out.
Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, and I think Mick Foley.
Mick Foley comes out
Foley
next.
All came
that
out.
Glass shattered. That they probably felt like a fucking earthquake happened. I think it was in Dallas, maybe. It was unreal.
Yeah, We'll get to Vikings here in a minute, but wrestling right now is at an incredibly good, like, spot. My friend Jeff just messaged me a couple weeks ago. He's like, dude, I haven't watched wrestling since, well, you know, we're the same age. He's like, I haven't watched it since we were in, like, fucking ninth grade. And now all of a sudden it's like, how is it this good again? Yeah. Well, they had a moment at WrestleMania this past a week ago or so, where they brought back a bunch of legends, where it was like, oh my God. And it was like within 5 minutes, here's John Cena, and then here's The Rock, and then The Undertaker came out, and it was like, holy shit. And people were waiting for the glass to shatter, because it was like the roof would have went off. If that would have happened, the roof would have just blown off the whole building, and it would have been.
I'm okay with Stone Cold coming back. I am, like I said, I'm a diehard. I grew up watching Shawn Michaels, and, you know, I watched his rise when they were doing the house shows, and he was more intercontinental champ status. He never was the biggest dude. And, you know, I watched him kind of morph into the fucking superstar that he is. But if you look at Shawn Michaels now, he looks like a bum on the street corner, and I hate it because it breaks my heart. Which, he's great. Like, he took care of his body. It beat him up over the years. He's getting old, like all of them. You just don't think it'll happen to your guy, or it'll be forever until it does. And it's definitely here. He's losing his hair, or I'm losing. He lost his hair. And that voice.
Shawn had him.
Scragglier and scragglier.
He had an unfortunate injury where he was hit in the eye.
I didn't know about the eye.
That was right before he like retired from in-ring action. He got hit like right in the orbital socket. And so I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he's got a crooked eye now.
You can definitely see it now. I had no idea of this injury. Yeah. I remember watching when the back injury happened. He had a casket match with The Undertaker. And I lived on the edge of my seat as like an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. Like, holy crap, I want to be that dude when I grow up. I remember watching WrestleMania 14 when he had to pass the torch to Stone Cold. And I didn't want to do anything for like a month. I was like, well, when's he coming back? And, you know, at the time, we don't have Twitter. We don't have whatever. You just have to sit, wait, and wonder. We went to visit my grandparents, and they – little context for you guys, that whoever listens to this in the universe, whatever time, I know you don't give a shit, but we're just having fun because we don't have a lot of Vikings news. My grandparents.
We're going to talk about the voluntary portion of off-season workouts on this week's episode.
And how no, probably you should be upset.
No, why you shouldn't give a shit. That's going to be the Purple People Podcast spin on that topic. Here's my spin on it.
It's crazy. My grandparents on my mom's side of the family, they grew up very Southern, very redneck, kind of poor. And when we would visit my grandparents, we would go to one of the flea markets. And it was a highlight for me because, you know, grandparents see you, they hand you a couple bucks. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. We go and I get to go, oh my God, I get to go buy something cool. So I remember going a few years after Shawn Michaels had retired. Hadn't heard anything, still watching wrestling, and you're really shifting into the Attitude Era. Like, The Rock is huge, The Undertaker's in his prime, Stone Cold's taking over, like, they're all the face. And I remember going to this, like, I this just cement table. It's literally cinder blocks on a slab, and it's just cassette VHS cassettes of wrestling. And I asked the guy, I was like, "Hi, sir. I was like, I know you have to make money, but I hope you could cut me a deal." And he looked at my dad, he winked at him, he's like, "Whatever you need, buddy. What are you looking for?" Shawn Michaels. He's like, "Normally I do buy one, get one free, but if you buy something that has Shawn Michaels in it, I'll let you get two for free."
And I was like,
"Yes." So I buy some, and he goes, "That's really sad." He's like, "You like Shawn, huh?" And I was like, "Yes, sir. He was my favorite." He's like, "So do you still watch wrestling?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah." He's like, "You should watch Raw this Monday." And I was like, "I mean, I watch Raw every Monday." He goes, "Don't miss it this Monday." And I didn't pick it up because I'm 11 years old. And it, I don't know if you remember, but it's the one where
the,
it came
out. And the tape traitor was Shawn Michaels. That's
he was the one where he came back and he was the commissioner now.
No,
he hadn't made an appearance on Raw in years. And I was like, what is the...
How did that guy know?
Must have had some kind of... I mean, I don't even know if the internet was a thing, like really, truly a thing yet, but he must have had something on there. What's going on? I don't think I've seen you before. Hassan? Tell me if I'm butchering that, but thank you. 1 week till NFL draft and WWE draft pick. So guys, tell me about this. I don't watch WWE anymore. I have nothing against it. I don't have anything. I know I saw The Rock came back for WrestleMania, which was great. And he pushed Cody Rhodes, you know, that's cool to see, like, knowing how the business works now and seeing how much respect and everybody loves The Rock. But tell me about the WWE draft pick, and we'll kind of, like, push that into the NFL draft and transition it.
They have two main shows. I'm sure you know the two main shows, Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And the roster has gotten so large that they split it into two different brands, two different rosters. So you have a Raw roster and a SmackDown roster. And then you got NXT, that's like their third show.
Isn't that like their XFL kind of?
Well, yeah, that's a lot of the younger guys. Hey, we've just signed them. We're going to train them, you know, teach them the ropes and then bring them up to the main roster. And so it's once a year, usually around the time of the NFL draft, they'll do a WWE draft where you have your two general managers of the show. And, we're going to take this guy to this show and this other guy is going to come to our show. And they usually use it a lot of times to maybe we want to split up a tag team or maybe we want to split up a stable. So we'll take them on two different shows to do that. Or they'll use it to, we moved a championship from one show to another show. And that's kind of how it works. I joked in our chat that I think the Minnesota Vikings have a better shot of drafting a quarterback in the first round of the WWE draft than what they do of the NFL draft at this point. Because you were talking about this before the show. You were looking at, what, 4 or 5 different mock drafts?
Let me just show everyone, because I think this is crazy. I'll let you keep talking, but I want to show you guys a website that I just think is crazy how the spectacle of the draft is. This is what it's turned into. Now we have literally an outlet that will show you what the latest mock draft is from whatever website. So keep firing away, but I want to watch
it. I haven't seen this yet. This is insane that we have like this level of information that you can pull up. But I, you know, the more I'm looking at this draft and just every mock draft that's out there right now, I don't know how the Vikings get a quarterback without just giving up every single pick that they have to get up into the top. I mean, before we've been saying, oh, you get into the top 4 or 5 picks in the draft and you can get yourself a quarterback. Now I'm looking at this going, if you don't get to that third overall spot, I don't know if you're getting the quarterback that you want.
Well, I'll go on the record and saying, and for you guys that are not watching on YouTube, I've shared the screen now. And just for context, this website, shout out to them, is NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. It's a long URL, but it's pretty sweet. So it's ascending from date. So today is April 17th. So they have the first one up here. This is from The Game Day by Michael Roachman. Keep going down. Yesterday, a bunch, like 5 or 6 drafts. CBS, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Bills Wire, Bears Wire, the 33rd team, et cetera, et cetera. And they give their predictions on what it is. And it's a lot of what you guys have seen. Caleb Williams is overall going to Chicago, number 1. We know that. Drake May and Jaden Daniels are either interchangeable in a lot of these to Washington or New England, vice versa. There's a couple here with J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots. There's two here with Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Patriots at three. Go down a little bit. You can find some Viking stuff here where they take Drake May at three. That's the 33rd team, a draft blaster. But to your point, Kyle, and I want to brag on myself. I'm going to stop sharing the screen now. I'd like to brag on myself because – oh, we can't – we're going to talk about that one.
Yeah, I haven't. I was going to ask you about that, Tommy. I haven't seen it, but apparently Smith has.
I can't wait to show you. I can't wait to show you this.
We'll get to that here in a minute.
I don't. I said this on the show after that we found out the Vikings got the 23rd pick from the Texans. Which, by the way, if we haven't said on this show yet and you don't know, the Vikings didn't pursue them for that. I believe it's been reported multiple times. The Texans reached out to the Vikings because they knew they were going to need a quarterback and they wanted to get more assets. So. And for the stuff they gave up last year to get Will Anderson, I think that's really smart on there. I think they are playing chess, not checkers. I think they're doing it really well for the time and space that the NFL is in now. But go ahead.
And I had heard through the rumor mill that apparently that 23rd pick is off the table for Minnesota in terms of trading up or giving up draft capital. We had all – and again, who knows – we're in the week before the draft. If there's ever a period of misinformation, it's right now. So take everything with a grain of salt. But, you know, we'd all assumed that, hey, they got 11, they got 23. That's their ammo to get up to the third or the fourth pick. Supposedly, they're keeping that 23.
I'm going to call bullshit on that immediately.
You think so?
I just don't think we need to overthink it. It's just my opinion. But you're missing a quarterback. You have Sam Darnold for the year. The next year's draft class is not this loaded with quarterbacks. There's always going to be one or two, but you have – this is the chance. And they've been on record recently of saying, yeah, we've been looking at this draft class. Like, we've had our eye on it since we got here because this is going into their third draft now.
Yeah.
So they've had their eye on this class because they do their part as scouts and, you know, businessmen of the NFL do. But – there's no reason to load the entire roster up and not get the most important position when you're transitioning off of a guy who was the most consistent in the league for ever, not named Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, pretty much. Herbert's been hurt. Jalen Hurts has been hurt. Joe Burrow's been hurt. Kirk Cousins, up until last year, he missed one game because of COVID. And that was like, put your politics aside, that was kind of arbitrary. Because he was within the distance or whatever. Though I think it's kind of bullshit, but whatever. Safety, that's fine. He, for five seasons, he doesn't go down and he's there. If you're moving off of that and then you're taking another first round pick, dude, if you really want to trade back in the first round or you want to find talent at the top of the second, you'll just trade up. You're not going to do that before the draft unless you're getting a quarterback. I said that on the show. I think the day or two after they got that, we did a show. They should have traded for the number three or number two pick immediately because the closer we get to this, it's going to cost more than what it would have cost before because the pressure is on. And then it's like, cool. And it's happened. What, Kyle, do you remember? I don't remember, but it's happened in previous years too. Teams will trade up weeks before the draft and they're like, hey, we're in three now. We know who we want. That happened recently. So I think it was with the Bills. When the year they got Josh Allen, they traded up. And
here's
it's like,
the thing. You can, if you're Minnesota, you can only do that if you're getting to the number three overall spot, number two or number three, and I don't think you're going to two, but you can only do that with the third pick because if you trade number four, number five, you're signaling to every other team if you want a quarterback, you got to jump in front of Minnesota. And so you're still setting yourself up for to not get the player that you want by making the trade that early. So I kind of get the wait-and-see approach. These first five picks are going to be wild, absolutely wild. I think this is going to be the most chaos we've seen in the top five ever.
I think it's funny because with the way the NFL is headed, like you and I – talked about it. I bitched about how they're just leaning so offense heavy, but this is going to be a product of what the NFL is now. They're saying that this may be the first mock draft where I think it's or NFL draft where there's more than 19 offensive players taken in the first round. Mm-hmm. 19 offensive players have happened three times in our history. And this may go over that because this the quarterbacks are going to go on a run. There may be five in the first round. There could be six. I don't think there will be. I don't think Bo Nix is going to go, but maybe Michael Penix, somebody will trade up late in the first. But then you have a slew of wide receivers. You got a generational tight end in this draft, and you have a shitload of offensive tackles. They may hit that 20 mark out of 32 teams that pick offensive players. It's a very good possibility.
Well, you know how the NFL has devalued the running back position where you essentially you don't draft a running back in the first round anymore. I'm really curious to see what happens with this hip drop tackle. Like, oh, yeah. what's the long-term effects of this on the NFL? And if they're going to stay put with it, like, do you reach a point where you go, I'm not taking a linebacker in the first round because they're just – you can't really play the style of football you want. Like, at what point are we going, defensive end, maybe not as important as what it used to be because you really – your window for sacking the quarterback is, like, right here. And it's a penalty if you do anything else outside of this zone. And so we're not that worried about it. Like you said, we're just going to score points.
I hope it doesn't. It makes me sad to think about how it could change. Because if it changes that drastically, like, I can't stay on board. I'll have to find something. I just have to go full-blown, like, UFC nerd like I am now. I hope it doesn't because you're right. If you start changing what the position does on the field and what it had before, and let me put the preface out there so this stays on a server that outlasts humanity for all time. I understand that CTE is bad. I understand that tearing ACLs are bad. We don't like concussions. You would like people to not be vegetables when they're 40 years old. I get it. But it's football. You signed up to beat that living shit out of each other. So at some point, there has to be a good chunk and percentage of letting that happen within reason. And when that finally goes away, I bitched about this on Twitter vehemently. I was like, when you get to a certain point, when it tips over that edge, like that little coin machine at the arcade or whatever. The arcade, and it happens at some point. You're going to piss off too many fans, and you're going to lose viewership. And that's when it's going to go like, "Oh shit, we fucked up. We should have done this. We should have done that." And it's like, I hope it doesn't get to that point. But I want to shift to this because
you have me intrigued.
I'm
going to
share this for you because you haven't seen this, Kyle.
No, I haven't seen any of
this. This is very realistic, honestly. This is very realistic. The Vikings don't want to. If they don't want to get rid of these picks and they are staying like you said they were, or let's say they miss out on their guy, maybe they're in love with Drake May, New England takes him, and then they get beat out at four, or they wait to see if, you know, the Cardinals, they wanted to trade, they didn't trade with them, they trade with New York because they only want to go back two spots and get one of the receivers. Now they're stuck with 11 and 23. This is part one of Peter Schrager. Shout out Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football. At 11, he has the Vikings taking Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold. Now, I've watched him and a lot of his highlight tapes here, and he's awesome. Like I said, he's a five-star safety, played inside and outside corner under Nick Saban. He flourished on the field, as Peter Schrager said, as Alabama's defensive field general last year. Good, great juice, good leader.
I would not hate that. That would be one of those picks where Vikings Twitter is going to go nuclear.
But if you're riding the Sam Darnold train for this season, this is a wonderful pick. I don't think cornerback is the very first need, but if you get this guy right here, you're good. I think it's a good direction for the defense long term. And
I'm of the belief that you can never have enough corners.
100%.
Yeah, and it's been a spell. It's been since prime Xavier Rhodes out there on defense that we've had a true shutdown corner.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you got to keep throwing those darts at the dartboard. And
let's feel old real quick. The last shutdown season from Xavier Rhodes was 2017, the Minnesota Miracle year. We are entering 7 years ago from the last time we had a prime physical, like, shut down corner. That was the last time.
Yeah.
Scrolling down, they stay at 23. Any guesses before I show it?
I mean, Tommy maybe kind of spoiled it, trading back. I don't know. But Penix at 23 would be my guess
Bo
if he's
Nix
still on
at
the board.
23. Peter Schrager says Bo Nix could go as high as 11, 12, or 13, or completely fall out of the first round. I think 23 to the Vikings or another team here in a trade up makes sense. One thing, he's as accurate as they come, having just set the FBS record this past season with a, this is insane, a completion percentage of 77.45. Holy crap. Now, I'm not the biggest, smartest football and scheme fan, but I did read a lot on this saying this is not a professional style offense here. This is a college offense. So
Yeah.
take for that what you will. But he's I love the love and the flowers that Kevin O'Connell is getting, even after a down year. These are things that'll be very highly valued by offensive coaches and quarterback gurus. That is Kevin O'Connell, that's Sean Payton. I could see Nick's playing for either one of those master tacticians. I wouldn't hate this. I am not a Michael Penix fan
Where do they
because
have him going?
and he's down here going, or he's out, no, he's out of the, for Peter Schrager, he is not in the first round. Now, that some other
I
places have mocked him in the first round later to the Raiders because their coach kind of likes that style and had like, they're not going to get Jaden Daniels because he's going to go too high. So they had them trading back up at the end of the first, which I think makes sense.
Penix, I think, is a he's a late first round pick. And I don't how do I say it? He has all the t he has too much potential for a team to try to roll the dice if they want him to try to see
Yeah.
where he goes on day two. So I think if you want Penix in the building and you're able to swing that trade in the ass end of round one and get up and get him, I think you just go up and get him because there's enough potential that if you swing and you miss on him, you go, I understand why you did it, and giving up an extra third or a fourth to try with him is like, I'd rather do that than Bo Nix.
I get it. The reason I'm out, I don't like the injuries. I'm always scared of that
Right.
because even though he has had two full seasons, he started out at Indiana. He's played in college for like 5 years. Him and Bo Nix are old, NFL old. I think
Yeah.
they're both either Justin Jefferson's age or a year older, which is nuts.
Yeah, where's my
And
phone? Let me look that up.
so there's one. And number two is even though the injuries are 2 years away, that doesn't take away from the fact that it is a surgically repaired knee. And that the injuries are still there. I wonder if it's going to come back and rear its ugly head. But the biggest thing about Michael Penix that I'm out on is, and I'm going to start it with a compliment in badly, which I try to do the opposite. He throws the prettiest ball, not named Caleb Williams in the draft. He's got
Oh,
a great,
100%.
he's a great passer.
100%.
But the problem is he only throws outside the numbers. In today's NFL, you win in space. There's not a lot of space when you're doing just straight verticals and go routes and whatever. You got to beat people in the middle of the field. And when he played really good competition, it wasn't the best of him throwing
The
over the
best
middle.
game, I know.
And that's the thing that
So
scares me. And he's a lefty. I don't care what anyone says. When 99% of the quarterbacks of in all of history throw right-handed, you throw a lefty in there, it's going to change shit for people. So I don't know.
Penix is only 23, which that's not that bad. I mean, Caleb Williams is 22, so he's only a
Nice.
year older than only a year older than Caleb Williams. Bo Nix is 24.
He's
Yeah.
old for the NFL.
What was Josh Whedon? Brandon Whedon, what was he?
Brandon Wheaton. Yeah. He was like the 28-year-old that Cleveland
Yeah, he was like
drafted.
20, 28 when he came out of college.
Oh, leave it to Cleveland to do something crazy like that. That's hilarious. So let's just, we don't have to make this a super long show because we're gonna, if you guys don't know and you watch this later, we do, ever since the COVID year, we will be live for the NFL draft. We will start 15 to 20 minutes before and we'll go through the, at least to the Vikings pick. Maybe we'll do the whole first round, but it's gonna be crazy. I
We'll
know I'm already
probably.
prepping myself to be pissed off. I'm gonna be mad because the guy that I want, I know just from the universe that hates me that we're
You're
not gonna
gonna.
get him.
We're gonna have to watch the whole first round. I mean, I'm gonna watch the first round anyway, but we're gonna
Yeah.
have to stream pretty much the whole first round because even
Yeah.
if they package 11 and 23 and get a quarterback, dude, this GM is insane. There's still the potential that he's like, you know what? We're going back into the first round.
And truthfully, like this isn't the this isn't the absolute best roster in the NFL, but it's, I think it's in the top half, a couple pieces away, and you're sitting in top five territory with how they've gone. I really do think they have a ton of, like, and I think Rick Spielman tried to do this, but I think Kwesi's just better at it. The value signings. You don't have to knock, like, I'll just use, like, I'll use current names of guys we know, like, right now or the last couple of years. You don't have to go out and get Davante Adams at wide receiver. You don't have to go out and get Josh Jacobs at running back. You can go get B-minus players. And if you have a whole team full of B-plus and B-minus players with the occasional Jefferson and Addison or whatever, that's a damn good team. And I think that's what he did. I think sort of these guys they signed
that's
from –
sort of the mold of the 49ers. You know that?
100%. And – he has experience there. He's got there in Cleveland. He was there and in Cleveland. And then you got Kevin O'Connell, who was with the Rams. They won a Super Bowl. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with them as the OC. So you have that mentality. But, like, those signings, the two guys from Houston, the guy from Miami, and then the other corner from Houston that used to play for the Seahawks.
Uh-huh.
Those are four great signings for this team. They fill needs. They are good veteran starters. They're not going to blow you out of the water. But they have the potential to, if everything goes right, which is this is a Kwesi tactic every time. It's like, well, I'm looking at the upside. Sure. And what I love, and I know you love too, because you talked about this more than I did on the show, getting rid of the old players, even though we love them.
Yes.
We have youth on the team now. And if they hit, I mean, they can be here for a little bit. And then you can start to see that little run that happened with the Vikings from 2015 to 2017. Like, oh, okay, we're actually in it every year now. Like, we're
so the older I get as a football fan, and we're ancient compared to some of the kids that are out there on Twitter now, Smith. I have seen too many off seasons where the team that wins free agency, oh, the Jacksonville Jaguars won free agency, the Cleveland Browns, they yeah. won free agency, they signed a slew of players. There's really only one team that's ever made it work, and that was the Rams. The Super Bowl yeah. year that the Rams went out and did it, where they went on a run where they were like, fuck it, we don't need first-round picks. We don't need any draft picks. We're signing every veteran free agent imaginable, and it worked. It worked for them. But I guess when I understand what you're talking about now, where it's like you would – I want to hit – on draft picks and, you know, priority unsigned free agents and those kind of guys, and you want to supplement in the free agency period. I think the Vikings have done a really good job so far in, like, supplementing pieces and parts out there in free agency, where you want to hit, duh, this is like saying, we'll just draft the next Patrick Mahomes, but you want to hit on, like, hey, we got Justin Jefferson at wide receiver. So we're pretty good at that position. We don't have to go out and overspend and get the top tier free agent. You have a very solid point with Tom Brady. Very solid point with Tom Brady to the Bucs.
Well, I mean, look at what happened with that year too, not to derail your conversation, because I want to keep talking about that, but think about that. They built a good roster, and they literally were a quarterback away. They were a Jameis Winston out, Tom Brady in away, and they won the Super Bowl immediately. Now, things have to go that way. I don't think the Tom Brady and the Bucs win that Super Bowl that any other year if it wasn't the COVID year, because a lot of these teams were dead-ass behind because they weren't practicing as much, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when Tom Brady's coming, you're like, your ass is going to be at practice. I don't give a shit about these rules. We're out here to get better than everybody else, and we do that by preparing, because that's all they do is prepare and prepare and prepare. But
didn't they, like, hey, we're gonna find a park and we're just gonna get together yeah. and, like,
yeah.
yeah, go work out on our own, screw the rules, whatever.
But let's go back to what you were talking about. I want to talk about what the Vikings did that you and I have been very adamant about on the show for years, and I stole it from talking about it from Colin Cowherd, because he talked about the Patriots doing it. But let's just use two players of recent. Moving on from Danielle Hunter, he does have injury history more than once, mm-hmm. but he came off his best season with the Vikings. I would have loved to have seen him stay, because I just like him as a player and he's great on the field. But they did the Bill Belichick thing where they moved off of him a year early. Last year, they move off of Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen, I think, had 1,000 yards in Carolina. Carolina was dog shit this year. I think I'm pretty. I'm positive. Let me look it up. I'm almost positive. So they move off of Thielen. Yeah, 1,014 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he barely got it, but good for him because that offense and that whole team pretty much they were dog shit this year, right?
How? So, I don't know how. I don't know how you have 1,000 yards on that offense.
Well, they have. And no, this is just me with low hanging fruit, but. When you have a middle schooler playing quarterback, and that's not saying his abilities aren't professional. I do. When I went to that game, I literally said it to the Panther fan sitting around. I was like, that's your quarterback? He looks like a child. He's literally a foot shorter than any offensive lineman that he has out there. They're fucking massive. And I'm like, how does he see over the line? But, yeah, you got to get rid of these guys to try that. And what I love that Kwesi has done, and he's the kind of GM – we're going to appreciate when he's gone. He's a lot like Kirk Cousins, and I'll explain why. You're going to eat your vegetables with this dude, and you might not like it at the time, but when you see – I've got Andrew Van Ginkle. We got Jonathan Grenard. We got the corner from Houston. We got another linebacker, Blake Cashman. Okay, we didn't go out and get the, like, Patrick Willises of the world at the linebacker position, but can these dudes rush the passer? And then here's the other part that we don't fully and truly consider this. We kind of mention it when we talk sports and we do podcasts about this, but we don't absorb it and think about it truly. You got those guys. You got them at a good freaking price because two of those dudes will cost you one Danielle Hunter. And I hate to say it, but I'd rather have two of them than just one Danielle Hunter. And I love Danielle Hunter. Shout out to him. He's going to kill you. But you have to play that balance. And I think that's what's so cool. And you guys mentioned before is like the Rams did that thing where they're like, no, we're just going to buy it. We're going to be the Yankees this year. Well, shit, it worked. You know, they immediately got off of Goff, went and got Stafford, and it worked. I think some of that had to be a little percentage of luck, but they had almost every – they were like a couple of pieces away from the bike being completely together, and they're like, oh, here we go. Let's take it for a ride. And then the Vikings are coming in, and they're like, how can we moneyball our way into the playoffs? Because we got to pay this dude. We're going to keep this dude. He's like the best wide receiver. We're not going to pay the quarterback anymore because he's 36 and he just came off an Achilles. And then it just starts rolling like, oh, yeah, Houston calls. They want to give us a first. Do we want to – yeah, let's fuck it. Let's trade for a first. And I could just see, like, the numbers and the calculations going on. I'm like, I don't know if they're doing the best thing and the best way, but they are doing a very intriguing way of let's not overspend. Let's find value. And you got a really good coach, man. And I think that – you know, you remember last year when we went to the draft, we're like, well, the Vikings are rebuilding now. They're in a rebuilding mode. I don't think they're rebuilding anymore. I think they're like three players away from like, nah, man, let's go. We can play with anybody. Let's do it. And that includes whoever they draft at quarterback. It fucking kills me to say that. I agree, Tommy. This is the Belichick way of thinking. And stop. By the way, I'm gonna go on another rant. Stop slandering Bill Belichick. That little piece that came out, that documentary is bullshit. He is the greatest coach of all time. If he's not 1A, he's 1B. I hate that they did a smear piece on him. You don't like that the guy's dick.
I was as bored as every other football fan during the Patriots dynasty because you got tired of seeing the Patriots. But. As much as I love, you know, some of the old-timey players from when we were growing up, you know, Steve Young, Joe Montana, those guys like that, like Brett Favre, John Elway, you're looking at Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and Bill Belichick is the greatest coach to ever coach the game, and I really don't think there's an argument. I really don't think there's an argument to be made.
So, and I understand, like,
and
if you
I don't
want to go down that rabbit hole of, well, who made who better? I don't care. I just know that they worked together for 20 years and they beat the shit out of everybody.
Can I piss off a lot of old time boomer fans who are thankfully not listening to the show right now? The NFL is a hell of a lot harder to coach when Belichick was doing it than when, like, the 72 Dolphins went undefeated. We're going to run up the middle every single play.
Do you mean the guys that are postal workers in the off season weren't premier athletes like all of these astronauts we have out there now?
I mean, no. I joke it was a hell of a lot more physical game, and like the defensive players would absolutely murder murder some of the star players of today, especially under those old school
Sure.
rules. But like, you know what I'm getting at here.
I'll say this too, and I'll ride that wave. I'll die on this hill with you. You won't be alone up there. I'll say this. Every 2 or 3 years, there would be one player that comes out that you're like, nah, that motherfucker could play at any time. Like Lawrence Taylor, arguably the greatest player ever. He
Adrian
would have murdered
Peterson.
people in the NFL. Adrian
Adrian
Peterson,
Peterson.
Reggie White's back in the day. John Randall would have been a fucking savage these days. Cool. Those are one out of thousands.
Yeah.
A lot of those dudes, you don't
I
remember
think,
their name because they weren't.
I really think you could take Fran Tarkington and you could pluck him into today's NFL, and he would probably have a better career than what he did when he originally played, because offenses now have caught up to what he was doing back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Just like,
I
hey.
don't know if the success would be there, like getting to the Super Bowls or whatever MVPs, but I know he fits the style because they can't take his head off. And then if they can just script 4 or 5 ways, like little signals of, hey, when I do this, if I run left and I do this, be here. If I have to scramble right and I do this, be here. Dude, that's money. All that's half of what Russell Wilson and Mahomes have been doing for years. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like, that's cool. Yeah, I can see that. But going back to the draft and talking about the Vikings, I listen. I've been saying it, and I'm glad that I don't have to say it anymore. I fully believe we are not going to get the quarterback that I want. I want Drake May from North Carolina. I love his size. He
He's
reminds me of
going
Justin
too.
Herbert. He may very well go to Washington.
I think he's going too.
I think Washington takes Jaden Daniels, and I'm only saying this because I hear it from other like the mock draft guys or whatever. Cliff Kingsbury is there, and he likes Kyler Murray. Jaden Daniels is tall and thin, but he does run around and is very, I mean, he just won a fucking Heisman. So that's why I think, because I think I think he's able to overcome a little bit more than Drake May. The problem is, and if I'm right, New England's roster sucks so bad, and they want to have something to believe in. I think for the long run, you shouldn't ruin a young quarterback like they're about to do, because I think they're going to draft the quarterback that I want. I think you should trade with Minnesota, get assets. Ask a demanding price, let them pay for it, whatever. That's what I hope happens. I hope we trade to three, we take Drake May, and New England gets a haul. Fuck it, that's
If
fine.
I'm
But
New England, I answer the phone with the Vikings and I make that trade as well too, and I go back because, like you said, there are so many holes all over that roster on New England that they can acquire assets and draft smart and add that capital and build for the future. Because if they take a quarterback, that poor quarterback, if they take Marvin Harrison Jr., who's throwing the ball to him?
Jacoby
I
Brissett.
mean, what are you doing? What are
I
you
mean,
doing?
he would be fine with that. That's the thing where I would argue with this, because shout out to my best friend in the world, Greg. He's from up there. We talked last night, and it was like, he's like, Kyle, what is the most important position in all sports? I said, yeah, quarterback. He's like, my point exactly. We're taking a quarterback. I said, yeah, you don't have anyone to throw to, Greg. Your best receiver on the team was our number three this year. You got KJ Osborne. He's like, yeah, but we have a great defense. I said, okay, great. You always have a good defense because it's New England and it just happens because it does. Guess what? You are the worst team in the division. You don't have a better roster than the Jets. And 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers is better than anyone you're going to quarterback this year. The Dolphins have a fucking great roster. They're always a fringe wild card team. As long as Tua and that coach is there, they're great. They have a ton of weapons. Buffalo rules the AFC East. I said, think about this. You're not going to like what I'm going to say. The Panthers have the worst team in the NFC. You might have the worst roster in the AFC, dude. Outside of the Raiders, why are you going to put a quarterback in there to throw to who? To get his ass beat and just get intercepted all the time? Because, and this is my point. Let me finish this out because I just come to me like this. The Panthers took Bryce Young last year. In hindsight, it doesn't matter if they would have taken C.J. Stroud. He would have sucked too because the team is terrible. So you're going to go to three. You're going to take one because he's like, well, when are we going to be at three again? I said, you're going to be in the top five next year because your team fucking sucks. What do you mean? You're going to be in the top 10 again next year because your team is terrible and you're in the AFC where there's a gauntlet of great teams. So you draft a quarterback this year. You put him in like week 4 and start him this year and he's fucking ruined. Now, Carolina's not going to move off of Bryce Young because they gave up a haul. New England doesn't have to give up a haul if they stay there. Do you think if Drake May sucks a whole bag of dicks this year, and that team is just – they're back at, like, number five again next year. You don't think they're not looking at quarterback again? That's the NFL now. If there's a guy they absolutely love and he falls, they'll take him again. And what happens if he falls? Like, all these teams got quarterbacks and nobody took one at one next year. Maybe there's a stud, you know, edge rusher that goes one and then a receiver and then somebody trades up for a corner. And then they're sitting there like, shit, man, we can get the quarterback. We don't have to trade again. That's always a possibility. And I know I'm doing this like, let's go down the tree branch of all these scenarios. But I hope for my selfishness sake that the Vikings take Drake May. And I don't care where they get him. That's who I want. What I think is going to happen is he's going to go two or three. Those teams aren't going to trade. We're going to overspend for J.J. McCarthy. That I can live with. I don't want it, but I can end up talking myself into it. If they get fucked out of J.J. McCarthy in the top four or five and we have to take Michael Penix or Bo Nix, mark my words, Purple People Podcast fans, I will be an insufferable piece of shit this season. All season long, I will be like, this was a fucking stupid move. Why did you get an extra draft pick not to use it? I hope that's break the glass. You know, there's a flood in the apartment. We got to go. If they overpay for J.J. McCarthy, I understand. If I don't agree with it, maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe he'll prove me wrong because ultimately it doesn't matter who we draft. I'm going to hope that they succeed because one before I die, like every other Vikings fan in history, I want Drake May, man. I've been in love with him. I'm going to talk myself into him because he's got the body and height of Justin Herbert, and he looks like a fucking big-ass NFL quarterback. But I'll settle for J.J. Hit the buzzer if they miss out on those four, dude.
I just think that the top five in this draft is going to be insane in terms of trades. And the thing that you can't factor in is there's always that wild card wow moment that happens. It's why the NFL draft is the absolute best reality TV program to ever exist. Because you have no idea what's going to happen. You can sit here and you can mock and you can come up with this and that and whatever plans that you think are going to happen. And then some fucking team does something that's just, that was not on anyone's board and you can't believe it. And that's going to happen in the top five.
That happened last year, remember? So the Texans take C.J. Stroud. Bryce Young goes to the Panthers, one overall. C.J. Stroud, we were wondering who was going to go first. The other guy was going to go second. Mm-hmm. So the Texans get C.J. Stroud. Arizona's at three. The Texans trade back up, and they're like, hey, we're taking Will Anderson too. They both win Rookie of the Year on their respective side of the ball.
So what – I mean, again, I'm just spitballing and making stuff up off the top of my head right now. But – there will be a team that wants one of these big-time top two elite playmakers, Marvin Harrison and what's the other kid, Neighbors?
Malik Neighbors and Rome Odunze is very good too. There's right. Just like there's a three consensus for quarterbacks, there's three right. consensus for receivers, and they're all
– And we were just talking about how important offensive skill positions are, particularly wide receiver. You know, there could be a team that could shock us all, like, I don't know, Philadelphia Eagles or someone like that, who makes a big-time trade, and all of a sudden you're looking at Philly at three to grab one of those receivers. That blows everyone's mock just completely up.
I agree with you, man. I can feel it. It's going to be weird and fun. I agree with the moment.
I mean, you've got – I don't want to say bottom feeders is not the right word. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but you got your teams who need a quarterback are in one group, but you've also got your Super Bowl contending teams in another group, like you said, who are how far do you let that trio of receivers fall before you're pushing the panic button because maybe they're the piece that can push you over the edge. Maybe they're your Justin Jefferson that you can add to your offense. So how far do you let those guys fall before you're trading up into it? This draft is a lot of fun, and I can't wait.
I'm pumped for it.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped right now. Let's go.
I'm pumped for it. Let me throw in this. This isn't Vikings related, but I just think that this is the biggest X factor because this guy coming back into the NFL makes the NFL so much better. Much like they say back in the day, we need the Yankees to be good in baseball because it makes baseball better. You need the Dallas Cowboys to be good. It makes the NFL better. You need the Lakers to be good. That makes the NBA better. Jim Harbaugh being back in the NFL is so good for the NFL.
Phenomenal.
And I love that he went to the LA Chargers. That's a fucking – you want to talk about the Vikings of the AFC? It's the fucking Chargers. Hey, they have the worst luck ever, right? They had that team with Antonio Gates, LT, and Phillip Rivers, and they didn't get a fucking Super Bowl. They didn't even go to a Super Bowl.
That hurts. I'm not a Chargers fan, never been a Chargers fan, but like that has to be their version of like the
90s. And they lost to the Patriots too. That'd be like all those great teams in the 90s that like, oh, we got to play the Bulls in the, you know, the semifinals or whatever. Like, well, it's a good run, boys. Fuck it, we're not going to beat them. So, yeah. But my point being, you said,
LT,
you know,
LT is one of my favorite running backs of all time. I love
I'll say,
LT.
I will say this. He might not be on everybody. He might not be everybody's goat at running back. He's definitely in the conversation for the Mount Rushmore. He might be my favorite running back of all time. Barry Sanders, cool. I forget what's the guy's name from the Bears. It's blanking on me. Sweet Feet. Shit, forgot his name. Yes, you guys know. You know who I'm talking about. Obviously, we love AP. We like Emmitt Smith. Always, he's gonna be in the conversation. But Ladainian Tomlinson was a fucking monster. And I think about like how the game is molded. You want to talk about a dude who can literally do everything? He was small, but he's like, well, I'll get in there.
Walter Payton.
That's who I was.
It took me way too long to come up with Walter Payton. I've got about 3 brain cells left, and you just witnessed them all try to
obviously
fire.
You can debate all day long, and you're probably right for like Jim Brown and all the early ages. You know, that's fine. But man, LT used to do everything. And that was still in the era where they were like knocking the shit out of it. That's the Troy Polamalu era where it's like, no, we still beat the fuck out of each other, you know? But going back to what I was talking about, the original point, I'm so glad Jim Harbaugh is back in the NFL. It's great for the NFL. He's got a great quarterback to work with. That team's going to be not to be fucked with while he's there. But you, to your point, and I'm rounding it back in, this is where it comes back in full circle. Your point is the top 5 picks are going to be insane. If the Vikings trade up to 4, the draft starts with the fucking LA Chargers, man. I can't imagine you get a pro-ready wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. for Justin Herbert out there. Holy shit.
Now, Justin Herbert is going to have a breakout season. I am buying stock in Justin Herbert.
100%.
Right?
I know Adam hates him for whatever reason. He always likes to hate on him. I don't. I know when I watch the guy play, I'm like, oh, he's really good. That coach was like, there probably a year or two longer than he should have been and wasted a year or two of his youth. But Jim Harbaugh is going to build he's going to build that team just like he built Michigan. They're going to have the toughest offensive line. They're going to come in and just ragdoll the shit out of people. And when they start throwing it everywhere, good luck.
To me, in like my tier list of quarterbacks, he's like Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, I don't think there's that much of a gulf between the two. And Joe Burrow is really high on my tier of quarterbacks, where I'm talking like Patrick Mahomes above him, and that's maybe it. He might be my 2.
I think it's safe we can Mahomes. All agree. I take like the 3-year and 3 years because like it's tough to say Lamar right now because he just won an MVP. But like, you know, he was on a trajectory where everybody's like, well, he won an MVP a couple years ago. Well, he just won one again because he's really fucking good. I think Patrick Mahomes is in his own tier. Like he is the best. And
He's in S tier. He's elite.
Yeah. This is the standard up here, right? And then
he's taken over Tom Brady as the guy right now.
Yes. Yeah, he's the dude by himself until somebody takes him down, right? And then you have that slew of dudes. You have Josh Allen. You got Joe Burrow. Could be argued Jalen Hurts. Lamar Jackson's in there.
Yeah.
I put Justin Herbert in that tier. If you don't put him in that tier, which there doesn't have to be a lot, that's fine.
He might be
– the next one below, he's the very first guy I put that's like, no. He goes up in this tier if there's an extra spot or somebody's slipping down.
I think the only reason he's not quite in that tier is he's had some shit coaches. that have held him back from where he should be. The only, you know, I did hear an interesting point about him to where if he doesn't figure it out soon, he does potentially enter the Kirk Cousins territory of you're going to be paying him a lot of money to be really good and not win you anything. And I don't know how far you want to go down that rabbit hole, but he's not there yet.
I don't think he is either. And
that's where, and that's where I got with Kirk real quick. That's where I got with Kirk, where I was like, look, you're going to pay him a lot of money to be really good, but I don't ultimately think you're going to win with him, which was why it was okay to move on from him. Atlanta's not winning the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. They're not.
I think they shoot up in relevance and get into playoff contender status because the only team that's competing with them in that division is the Bucks. So
yeah.
And now you have seven teams that get in the playoffs. You have a legitimate chance to get back in the playoffs. They haven't been in the playoffs since Matt Ryan was there and they went to the Super Bowl. And I think the year after, it's been like 5 years. So they're dying to get it. I think he totally can bring them to the playoffs. But like you said, I think that's kind of it.
Wild card. It's Kirk. It's Kirk. Yeah. They'll take you to a wild card.
And that, hey, we're putting it back out there again. We hate that we have to say this. We like Kirk.
I don't hate
we liked his time here. We're not talking shit about him. This is just being real. Let me go on my Justin Herbert defense, though, because we have to look at every single thing. Whether you agree with it or not, this is a variable that does take effect, too. Brandon Staley was a dog shit coach. He's a great coordinator. Dude, if I could have my brother on this podcast, he's going to love this episode, so I'm defending his guy. I can't tell you how many texts. Like, Brandon Staley makes me fucking irate. He sucks at his job. He's just, some guys are coordinators, some guys are coaches. He's not a coach. Okay, cool. He was throwing to trash cans for like 2 years. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are the most injured receivers. Like, they're just never on the field together at the same time. And that's an emphasis on you have to draft better. You have to have depth. They don't have depth. When Keenan Allen's not playing the Vikings and scoring, you know, having 211 yards like he did that one game, when he can be held in check. I'm not talking down on him because, hey, he's a good receiver. He is very good. But you got to have a good complement 1A, 1 and 1A. They were hardly on the field. So he's throwing to, like, I think last season or the year before, he was throwing to, like, literally fifth string guys. And we don't talk about this shit enough. Imagine being Mark Sanchez. Imagine being Ryan Fitzpatrick. Imagine being who the fuck ever was on the Jets or the Bills or the Dolphins. Imagine being in the same division with Patrick fucking Mahomes.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that enough. Not only does he have to overcome shit coaching and terrible injuries on the team, but you got to play Mahomes in that division. You're never going to win the division. So you're already set back to start unless there's some miracle year where a bunch of the Chiefs players get hurt and you play your best football ever. You're not playing a home game at all in the playoffs. So you're already starting on the road as the season starts. You're like, if we make playoffs, we got to play on the road, which fucking sucks. And he had all the other things that, like, had to overcome. I'm a defender of it, but I will agree with you. Two more years of this, and they don't have some playoffs appearances to show for it. Don't think they won't think about moving on. But Jim Harbaugh will be like, hey, bro, I just got here. Get him the fuck out of here. This ain't working. Like,
yeah.
They're going to listen to him, but I really like Justin.
In the same position that the Vikings were with Kirk when Kirk first came to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Where sure. It's like, yeah, like you got that window where you can win. And I legitimately believed, and I still do, that like that was the right decision by the Vikings to bring Kirk in when they did based on that roster. And it's totally the same thing with him as well down there and with the Chargers.
I agree. And what could happen is a little trajectory the same. They could end up winning the division or being a wild card. They could win a playoff game and they just say, finally put that. He's like, all right, playoff win. You know, we had to play the Chiefs the next week, or we ran into whomever team that's hot right now. But as long as they're consistently winning, I really think – and this is just the same way the 49ers were. They just had ogres out there chasing people around on both sides of the ball, and playmakers everywhere. And then you have a competent, great quarterback. That's what Colin Kaepernick was when he was in his prime with him there. I mean, the dude was a second-round quarterback out of, like, Vegas, and he took him to the Super Bowl. You know, like, he Justin Herbert's better than Colin Kaepernick. We all know that, but he can take it around because of the team that they're going to build there, and that's why, like, rounding the point back 5 minutes later, my most interesting thing once all the quarterbacks go, because I think it'll be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy. 1, 2, 3, 4. We've never had four quarterbacks in succession to start the draft. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. You're right.
The Chargers hold five. That's when that shit gets interesting, because I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the best player in the draft, not named Caleb Williams.
I might take Neighbors.
They might take Neighbors. They might take a fucking tackle because he's like, I want to protect my Wonder Boy quarterback. And if you guys didn't know,
Harbaugh might take a tight end. He's a madman.
He can do whatever he wants because he's royalty out there now. But they could do whatever they want. This draft is full of great tackles and wide receivers. It has plenty of depth. There's going to be dudes on day two at the early start of round two. That's where I think a shitload of trades are going to happen, because there's going to be guys that should have been picking the first. But hey, I got to scoop this dude up now. You know,
I'm telling you, man, I feel something weird happening in this draft. I feel Andy Reid going, this is potentially my last dance. Ugh. Patrick Mahomes, do you want Marvin Harrison Jr.? We're going to three, and we're going to three, and we're getting them. Like, just like something that's just.
I don't think the Chiefs could do it because they're so far back. But like you said, teams earlier, the first team I thought of was the Bills. They're crazy enough to do it. They're all in on Josh Allen,
and with them having Diggs, you know, he's no longer with them. Like, that leaves a hole on their roster. But like, someone is going to trade up, and this draft is going to go boom. We've got to reset our entire board. I can't wait for it. I'm excited. I wish it was tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. So we can get it the fuck over with.
I'm so bored of mock drafts. Yeah. And
we're burnt out because I think just as technology and the years pass and social media is hype, like, it's just, there's just too much of it.
The NFL has a weird issue that they have to rectify, where people really, really, really want to talk about the NFL all of the time. And it's year round, but not occasionally, I find myself getting burnt out on subjects like the NFL draft, mock drafts, because we're talking about them before the Super Bowl has even started.
Well, it's that, and it's like, well, yeah, that point too, at that particular time of the season, it's insane.
Yeah.
But it's just, all it is you're talking about predictions and hope. You hope your team gets this player. You talk about this player. You're not even a fan of the Bears, but you're like, damn, Caleb Williams is already going number one. I wonder who number two is going to be, blah, blah, blah. It's all this, like, anticipation. This is all selling anticipation.
I used to sit down when I had way more free time, and I would watch the NFL Combine from start to finish, and oh, my God, I would scout all the players, and here's all the guys I like and I love, and I could tell you, here's 20 first-round players that I'm looking forward to seeing where they go and where they get drafted. And you invest so much time in it. And then, it sounds bad, but none of the guys you want come to Minnesota because Rick Spielman is your GM and you do stupid shit.
And it's like mediocrity, man. You got to keep the tradition going.
You just can't keep – yeah, I just can't keep doing it. Let me know. When we got the actual players drafted on the team, and then I will get excited about their future.
Right. Well, I'll tell everyone as we end the show, if you watch this later, we are not going to do a show next week before the draft. It is Wednesday, the 17th of April. The draft is, I believe, on the 25th, Thursday.
24th or 25th, I think.
Yeah, whatever Thursday is, a week from tomorrow, we're not going to do a show between now and the draft. The next show we do will be the live draft show. I'm going to promote the shit out of it on our Facebook page and try to, like, tag everything in Twitter about it. There are tons of Viking shows and a lot of my friends on Twitter, they're going to be doing the same thing. Watch whomever you want. If you want to drop in on our show, we will absolutely talk about whatever you need, because this is the one day out of the year where we do a show. We're basically doing the Pat McAfee show where we're just free flowing and talking for 3 hours. it's a lot of fun. A little bit boring sometimes, a little tiresome, but that anticipation getting recorded live and streamed in the moment is so much fun. Oh, it's so much fun.
On my end, a little too much alcohol. Got to cut back on that.
That's
Can't quite do that as much
fine.
anymore, but
No, not a whole bottle of wine during the draft. It's fine.
I'm pretty sure the year we drafted Lewis Cine, I was like, I don't even know what's going on at this point. I've had a whole bottle of what the fuck's going on? What are we doing? Who are you guys? So probably don't go back and listen to that one.
Oh, that's funny. All right, I'm gonna promote everything real fast. We go
Which in a
backwards this week.
way, which in a way is a reflection of how Lewis Cine's tenure with the Vikings has worked out. We don't remember any of it, and we
I
wish it
wasn't gonna
didn't
say it,
happen.
dude. I
I
wasn't even gonna
will.
say it. I thought
Fucking
about saying something smart, but I was like, no, we dog
he.
on that dude enough.
He's not making the. He's not making the 53 this year.
You don't think?
No, he's not doing it.
I think this is his last year, and if he doesn't absolutely show a couple of like, oh shit, he can stay moments. I think he's got one more just because he was a first. But I'm with you that his ice is thin. That
Yeah.
sucks too. I really because his highlights from Georgia were good. That dude's a thumper.
He wasn't, yeah, I see. He wasn't drafted by Brian Flores.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're
This is
100%
not a,
right.
this is not a Brian Flores. I'm emotionally attached. I wanted to use him pick.
All right. That's a good point.
Brian Flores is a beast. He's got ice in his veins. He don't
Speaking
give a
of,
fuck
he
about
did not get any calls about a head coaching job, so he's definitely gonna be here next year, but definitely
Don't do it, Tommy. It's a trap.
going back to prior draft episodes after the show. Please flood the Facebook and anything else with stuff making fun of whatever stupid shit we said. Anything embarrassing, call us out on it. It's hilarious. All right, let's promote shit and get out of here. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter or on Instagram, I am most active on Instagram. My stuff is private there because I have like photos of my son and it's a little more personal. It's my favorite app, but on
Hot
Twitter,
tub.
I just
Hot tub,
yeah.
Smith.
Hot tub feet pics. That's funny. I know you don't have it the other day, so I'm just gonna promote myself and be happy because I can and I don't ever do this. I am officially 30 pounds down from December as of yesterday. And I've just been no sugar, crazy, going to the gym every day. Weird concept, right?
We have to chat. We have to chat after the show.
Okay.
I am up about 15 pounds. Need
So
to
I'm
not
going,
need to not be.
I just don't, I fast every, here's what I do. I don't eat breakfast at all. I never have been a breakfast fan because I don't like feeling bloated or full in the morning. I feel like shit. So
Yeah.
I eat around lunchtime between 11 and 12, and I don't eat after 6 p.m. I have a 6 hour window where if you want to go nuts, go nuts. And then I've read so many articles about like, hey, don't eat after this time. It's better for your digestive system. And then that eventually helps your sleep. My sleep feels better. I went back to the gym like a madman because my hip and my groin hurts a lot. I have a torn labrum. I have arthritis in my hips. Thank you, Uncle Sam. Fuck you. So now I'm having to go just move my body so I can feel normal again. And the weight is falling off, which is great. But said the hot tub shit and I said feet pics. So the other day I'm on the scale and I take a photo and I block it out. And I was like, I'm almost 30 pounds down. I got a couple more to go. And I was like, no free feet pictures. You guys are perverts. All of my friends were like, you're such an idiot. I was like, so hey, if I would have left them in there, somebody would be to them. You don't get them for free, boys. Sorry. I know you guys didn't want to think about that, but you're welcome. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter. All I talk about on Twitter is the Vikings and UFC stuff, so. Damn, Tommy, are you still in? Jesus. We've been talking forever. I know you were an army guy, I believe. Like, good Lord. Kudos to you, man. I got tired of the government real fast. I've been out for 5 years this summer, and it has been the most happy I've ever been in my fucking life. Oh,
That's
man.
amazing.
Hey, I love my people. I will always be tied to, and it'll be a big core part of my personality. But Jesus, I don't know how I did 12 years with Uncle Sam. Anyways, not about me anymore. We're promoting Kyle West. Go to Kyle West 844.pickfair.com. You guys, we promote it every week. Check out his photography work. I particularly fanboy over photography and what Kyle does because he has
Thank
such a
you.
good eye for what he does in his own town. My favorite thing he does every year is when the fall hits in Iowa and he does all his Halloween and spooky seasonal stuff. Man, you could frame it. You could do that, whatever. He has a Redbubble account if you want to go down that path where you can buy Purple Fuel podcast merch. I know that's still out there.
And, I am working, I say this all the time, but I am working on having a single place that will host all of my work. So photography, Purple People podcast, merch, like all of it will be right there. I have all of my photos sorted. I have a folder on my computer. I went through everything I've ever shot. That's a lot of stuff. And I have narrowed it down to here is actually my best work that I want to put up and have out there for sale. So I will be working on getting that up soon, and then we'll have like a single link for everyone to share. That's one of my goals here for the summertime.
I'll send you what all like the OnlyFans models and all these musicians, like the famous musicians have. It's like that link tree, and you can just put in everything. It's one thing, and you know, for whatever your business or pleasure is, you have one single thing. It's like link tree, and then it could be Vaguely Square or Kyle West 8 or whatever, and then you have, hey, buy my photos here. Hey, buy this here, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to send that to you because, that's exactly what you're looking for, and it's the first thing that popped in my head. But, yeah, you're there on kylewest84.pickfair.com, and you're also on Blue Sky at Vaguely Square.
Give me a follow.
Blue Sky is interesting. I haven't done it because I feel like I have too much social media as it is, but I'm going to inch towards it eventually.
Have deleted the majority of social media except Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. It's more social media. I mean,
yeah. Well, I like the concept of what you've told me about Blue Sky, how you have to be invited, and it's like
they have
very new. You know,
they've opened it up to the public now, so you don't have to have an invite anymore. You can just sign up for it. And you can be on there. What I like about that platform at the moment is that it's much smaller, and being a much smaller platform means the advertisers have not found it yet. So,
yeah, dude. Every time I get on Twitter, I block anything that's an ad, which I know there's millions of accounts, and it'll take me forever to block all of them, but I will block every ad that I see.
Right now, Blue Sky is full of like every artist, every writer, photographer, illustrator, anyone who does any kind of that work who feels alienated from Twitter and all the other platforms has just congregated on Blue Sky. And so it's just a wealth of cool people drawing shit and doing stuff. I will say there's a very distinct lack of any kind of sports related talk. So if you want to talk about Minnesota Vikings, you're not doing it on Blue Sky.
Well, like for me, and I'm not talking shit about anyone who still has it, it's just my preference. I think I'm too old for Snapchat now just to send photos. I don't have it anymore, but that's specifically what that app does, right? Instagram is specifically for posting photos and like showing where you're at currently. Facebook is more like your mom and dad's photo album. You know, we're going to talk about things that have already happened there. Twitter for me is like the what's happening now? Let me snort it real quick. Oh my God, there's an update. Give me another one. Like Twitter is insane for me. But I feel like Blue Sky would be like a good coffee shop where you go to get the specific thing you want. And it's there. Like now I'm intrigued by it. I kind of want
Blue
to do
Sky.
It.
Blue Sky is fun because you can log in and you can scroll and you can read everything, and then you check it like 8 hours later, and you scroll like a little bit. Oh, I'm caught up to right where I was 8 hours ago. I like that feeling because then I don't have to check it.
Dude, Twitter makes my brain melt because it's a lot of it's not in chronological order. Thank God. It just shows me highlights from the last time that I was on or the things that I repeatedly am interested in. And they're like, oh, okay, cool, I can scroll a little bit. But once you go down and you scroll down just a tad, it refreshes again, and I'm like, I can't keep up with the information that's on here. It's so much. And I don't even have my notifications on. I took the badges completely off my iPhone for TikTok. Dude, I'll spend a fucking hour on that app because it's just everything's hilarious, or there's some unbelievably talented musician that's just recording at home And I'm like, I should quit making music today. I am nothing compared to these people. And I look down and I'm like, fuck, man, I was supposed to be asleep an hour ago, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but anyways, I'm going to round it out and promote Adam's stuff. Adam texted me in the middle of the thing. He's like, sorry, guys, I fell asleep. Or I think he forgot
we
about
knew.
It. It's all good.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
He'll be here next week. We'll have the full band next week. Yeah, we knew. Yeah. We knew about 5 minutes in. I checked on Facebook because it'll tell you like when they were last active. I was like, oh, no, he's definitely asleep right now. No worries. Adam will be here next week. We'll have all the band in town. Please give Adam a follow. He's on all the social media websites at MN Viking Zombie, like Minnesota Viking Zombie, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. He's on everything. He's got a good Twitch channel, a YouTube channel. He and I just recently did in the last 2 weeks, a horror movie review. Go check that out. We do a couple of those every few weeks or months. Those are fun. And going in the backwards theme today to promote everything, please help Adam out. Everybody, promote. Look at this. Go to thevikingage.com. Help Adam Carlson pay his rent, pay his bills. Help feed him today for only a dollar. Like those old infomercials, you know? Click on the Viking Age, any articles that he's written. Now you don't even have to click through them anymore. That format is gone. You just have to click on an article.
Thank God I hated that.
Yeah. I didn't mind it because I was always a nerd and I wanted to see what they had come up with. But I know for how short everyone's attention span is now, like it's much easier. But go to the Viking Age, find an article or five written by Adam Carlson, click on them, pump his numbers up so his numbers go up in his bank account. Take care of our boy. Bronx, would you like to end the show? Get up here. Bronx says, spay and neuter your pets. We're going to do the Bob Barker thing here. Seriously, guys, join us next week. We're going to do the live draft show. We'll start about 15 to 30 minutes before the draft kicks off. The new year is kicking off, man. We're going to have a quarterback, and we're going to have some good hope next week. And the NFL draft, like Kyle said, is going to be absolutely nuts next week. So I'm excited to talk about it. Until then, thank you, Kyle. Talk to you guys next week. Skol Vikings, and remember, stay classy, Minnesota.